Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor of Release City Church, and this is our podcast. I'm super excited that you tuned in, and I really hope today's message encourages you, gives you a sense of hope, and inspires you to pursue all that God has created you to be. Now, let's jump right into today's message. Welcome to church, everybody. Welcome to Release City. Merry Christmas. It is the best time of year, but it is one of my favorite times of the year. And I want to say it was great last night, actually having to wear a hoodie. I think several of the parades over the Christmas holidays, we've actually had to do t-shirts and shorts, and sometimes that wasn't enough to take off because we were sweating going down. But it was nice, actually, in the state of Florida, feeling like it's wintertime and Christmas time. And the church said, amen. I know some of y'all get away from the cold weather to come down here, but we want you to bring some of that with us. Amen. Amen. So bring some of that white stuff. That would be really nice. They're like, not a chance, not a chance. Hey, if you brought your Bibles, let's go quickly this morning. We're going to just dive right into the book of Luke. The book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And this is just a little bit of a story that we're all familiar with. I'm not going to go through all of it. We'll save that for our Christmas Eve. And let me just do an extra plug. Don't miss our Christmas Eve special one. It's just a one-hour service that we do, and it's just a really a special time together. So make plans. Even if you have family in town, bring them. It's just really a great, great, great time. Are you there yet? Luke chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1, it says, At that time, everybody say that time. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. Let me just pause right there. That is not your typical how you think God would come. She's engaged, but yet she's carrying. Hello, somebody. I think God likes to shake things up just a little bit. Amen? I'm sorry. I totally left my finger off that. Verse 5? 6. Okay. And I'm sorry. This is not my first time doing this, y'all. I apologize. What's going on? Okay. It's the Christmas story and you're messing it up, Pastor. Let me get back on track. And while they were there, everybody say while they were there. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel assured them, here it is, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news. Everybody say good news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy. Everybody say great joy. Great joy to all people. The angel told them, don't be afraid. There's another translation that says, fear not. Say that with me. Say, don't be afraid. Let's just pause and just let those words settle in right there, okay? It's a holiday season. We're closing out another year. There's a lot of stuff going on in our community and in our lives and our families and in our nation. But let's just let those words right there just kind of settle in on us. Can we do that? Don't be afraid. You may not know this, but those words, fear not or don't be afraid, actually appear 365 times in your Bible. That's a reminder for every day of the year. Don't be afraid. It's almost as if God knew that we would struggle with fear and anxiety, so he made sure that we would be reminded often not to be afraid. Elbow your neighbor and tell him, say, don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Can I tell you that is exactly what we did last night as a church and as a ministry and as a church body and family, is that we gave good news that brought great joy to families within our community. Today I want to speak to you for just a few moments from the subject, exceeding great joy. Exceeding great joy. Everybody say above and beyond. That's what he does every single time. I was thinking this week about the old church song we used to sing back in the day. Some of you remember it. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't what? Can't take it away. But pause. If you're getting your joy from things of this world, if you're finding joy in the success that this world brings, guess what? Your temporary joy can be removed. But this joy, this exceeding great joy, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. So I ask you today, where are you getting? What's the source of your joy? Everybody say great joy. In my relationship with God and learning to trust him more, I've discovered that when I include God in every area of my life, it leaves no room for fear. And I'm finding this out as I'm getting older, that the more that I include God in everything to do in Bradley's life, in Bradley and Amy's home, there, it leaves little room for fear and doubt and anxiety, and it leaves a whole lot of room for hope, expectancy, and great joy. Where are you finding? What is the source of your joy? And that's where we're going to direct our focus today for just a few moments. God's exceeding great joy. Because let's face it, at some of the stages we are in our lives, we're looking for joy. We're looking for hope. We're looking for happiness. Now, as you know, we're right in the middle of the holiday season, but the holiday season for many is not so bright. It's not so calm. For some, it's a reminder that we need great joy. And I'm not talking about being happy because of all the gifts in the tree. When we talk about having great joy, we're talking about something supernatural. So I want you to shift your mind from when I said great joy, you're trying to think about green pastures and lilies and daisies and all of that. I'm not talking, that's all temporary. How many know wintertime comes? Yeah? When we talk about having great joy, we're talking about something more, something supernatural, because the true meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas is something extraordinary, and it is something supernatural. But for some, Christmas is not a joyous occasion. It's pretty staggering to share, but statistics show that more people will attempt and succeed at committing suicide than any other time of the year combined. The statistic said between Thanksgiving and Christmas, more people will attempt to take their life, to check out, than any other time combined in the year. The holiday season is a time where we need great joy because there is great darkness. Even in the midst of us rolling down last night, and I start hearing the chatter of people, the entitlement. Real quiet in here. Even though it was joyous for us, the enemy was on patrol. He was on patrol in our city. That's why I said, when you take ground, you take it and you stand on it and don't back up. If you retreat, he'll move in. And the Bible says sometimes he'll bring seven of his friends. You think you just were dealing with one devil. You back off of that territory you take, him and his buddies will come. And it'll be a whole lot harder to get that ground back. It's Christmas. Hold on. I'm trying to stay light today. Listen, this is why I love the Christmas story so much, y'all. Because in it, we see angels on the scene delivering good news. We see lights in the air, lights in the sky shining to help guide the wise men. And we see God coming to man. If there's ever been a picture of what we're called to do, if we're going to truly be like Christ, he left his kingdom to come down to humanity to save us from ourselves. Guess what our role is if we're going to be like Jesus? Come out of our kingdoms. Come down off of our high horse and actually serve people and help them in the middle of their mess. The Christmas season is more than the bright lights and wrapping paper. Christmas represents a supernatural season. Everybody say it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing because it's not just supernatural where God is concerned. It's also supernatural season where the spirit of darkness is concerned. Christmas is supernatural because the devil did not want Christmas as we know it. I'm not talking about the trees and the lights and the pretty fake poinsettias. Amen. Everybody's like, man, those things have been great all year. That's because they're not real. But the enemy did everything he could to stop the birth of Jesus. Because although we sing Santa Claus is coming to town, the demons were going, yeah, and Jesus is coming to town. And he tried to stop it at all costs. Because Christmas is a forever reminder of how God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world, and the enemy couldn't do anything to stop it from happening. And now the devil is doing everything he can to try and stop you and I from completing our mission here on earth. Which leads me to my first point. If you're taking notes, write this down. What we need to combat the enemy of our soul is great joy. We need great joy. Like a lamp needs power to actually succeed in what it was created to do. You need great joy. I need great joy. As I was putting this together this week and jotting some things down, it was made clear that joy, the reason I know joy is so important is because the enemy is doing everything he can to steal it from us. It's true. You can always know what the enemy's focusing on based on what areas in your life are being attacked. Families. Dude, two people that are surrendered to Jesus and got their family in the house, they're dangerous. Dangerous. Raising their kids up in church, that's dangerous. So why is the enemy coming after your family? Because you're dangerous. And what you carry is dangerous. That's why we prayed. That's why we prayed for Brody and Sarah. Because what he carries is more than lumber. It was more than bikes. It's the presence of God. And if you feel like you're a carrier of the Most High and the character of Christ, you need to stay prayed up in your home. Dad used to do it all the time. He'd go out in the driveway, he'd grab the anointing oil, and he'd pray over Brittany's little car. Sometimes it needed a little extra prayer back in the day. Yep. And he'd pray over Robbins, and he'd pray over. What do we do? Whenever we come down to visit, and when we lived in Georgia, we'd all stand around, we'd pray, he'd ask for the angels of the Lord. Sorry, that's me trying to get stuff together. He'd ask for the angels of the Lord to drive straight back north with us. Amen? And if y'all know anything about my driving, I needed lots of angels. Amen. Listen, there's two groups of people that need great joy. See which one you fit in. The first group are the people who feel as though they're living on the mountaintop. They're looking at all they've accomplished this year. They've got money in the bank. They've got all the extra zeros on their pay stub. Who am I talking to? Hello? Somebody say, I'm praying for some extra zeros. Amen. It's the guy who says, I've got the girl, I live in the house, and I got the car. It's the group who seemingly has it all, but in spite of all that they do have, they feel like something is still missing, and it is. You know what's missing? Great joy. They have the bank account, they drive the car, they live in the house, they got the selective friend group, but they still come up short. Yeah. Why do we have so many millionaires and entertainers that are loaded but still can't seem to get their lives together? That's not a pastor picking on somebody. That's trying to let you know you can have everything this world has to offer and still come up short and bankrupt in your life. The great theologian C.S. Lewis said, and I quote, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. You'll never find happiness and peace here outside of Christ, but it will be nothing like the peace that we will experience when we all get to heaven. There is a second group of people on the opposite end of the spectrum who need great joy. They're not on the mountaintop, they're in the valley. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you face great disappointment. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you started this year thinking this was going to be the year of breakthrough, only to go through some difficult situations. And instead of being a year of breakthrough, it's more like the year that broke you. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure there's many in this room that thought, this is going to be my year. This is going to be my year. I'm gonna lose 20 pounds, and you still got 40 more to go. Okay, that was just a church joke. Sorry. You were going to get out of debt. You were going to work on your marriage. Listen, maybe, and now you're here at the end of 2025, and the Bible verse that you actually can connect with is Proverbs 13:12, which says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Maybe you lost hope somewhere along the line this past year, but I came to share good news and give you great hope today as we finish out and wrap up 2025. If you receive it, say, "That's me." Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're a part of that second group. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're on the mountaintop, if you're down in the depths of despair in the valley, whether you seemingly have everything or it feels like you have absolutely nothing. I came to remind you that even when it seems like you're down to nothing, my God is up to something. Hallelujah. And I came to declare over this house and your homes, good news and great joy. We're talking about exceeding great joy. Exceeding great joy. Here's what I know about joy. Joy isn't temporary. Joy isn't temporal. Joy is eternal. That's point number two. If you're taking notes, joy is eternal. I'm going to encourage you to write this stuff down because you need joy. You need real joy. If I could change that country song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places," I'd change it to "Looking for Happiness." Looking for happiness in all the wrong places. You're looking for joy, but you're settling for happiness, and it's temporary. Somebody's like, "That brother knows something about Urban Cowboy." I grew up in the 70s, y'all. Wasn't her name Sissy? Was that her name? Dude, I just went way back right there. I probably hadn't seen that movie, and you're like, "I thought your dad was a preacher." I wasn't always in dad's house. Okay. Just like some of y'all just trying to pass judgment. "I thought you lived in a preacher's home." Like y'all ain't watching a little something, something. Hello. An Urban Cowboy is the least concerning for some of the programming we have today. Amen. Let me just keep moving. I went from preaching to meddling. I'm like, he's kicking over all my DVD collection right now. Listen, happiness is temporary. Joy is eternal. Happiness requires happenings. Joy is an inside job. Great joy is an inside job. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with happy, but your happiness can't be at the mercy of happenings. Your happiness can't be at the mercy of all things happening for you the way you want them. C.S. Lewis went on to say, "Joy is not a substitute for sex." Merry Christmas. But sex, listen, is very often a substitute for joy. I want to pause right there and say, we'll remove sex and talk about cars, four-wheelers, side-by-side, steak dinners, living in the right zip code, living in the gated community, driving the expensive car. I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is, joy is not a substitute for those things, but very often those things become a substitute for joy. Gentlemen, how do we do? When the guys come over, let's go out to the man crib. Let's go out to the barn. Let me open this barn up, show you all my toys. Let me show you my gun collection. Let me undo the combo and look at all them bad boys right there. Somebody said, "Now you're messing with my Christmas list." Nothing wrong with that stuff. But you got to make sure that stuff doesn't become a substitute for what you really desire. And that is exceeding great joy. If I can just, I'll buy the safe and then I'll put one gun in there and I'll leave space for more guns. Why is he talking about guns? I don't know. It's just hot on my brain right now. I'm having a bad week. Let me go buy a gun. It'll make me feel better. Hello, who am I talking to? Don't. all the guys just said, I'm taking notes. Eye contact. If I can just trade this car in and get a new one, then I'll be happy. Yeah. until that first payment. Well, Pastor B, are you saying that I can't have a nice car? Are you trying to say I can't have nice things? No. I'm not saying that. But you need great joy before you tell yourself, I'll be happy. I need that, and I'll be happy when I get it. I'm not happy in my marriage, so I'll go. You can go, but there's a consequence for going. This will make me happy. Oh, that's right. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness brings temporary pleasure. Hello, somebody. Joy is eternal. It's an inside job. Joy says, it don't matter if nothing's going my way. It don't matter if somebody comes and robs all my stuff in my safe. It don't matter if I go on a cruise for 7 days and I come back and some idiot tried to crush in my car, blew out my window. Joy says that can be replaced. Joy had us have a conversation and said, hey, B, are you okay up there? Because you ain't saying too much, as we drove back home with garbage bag on my window. It's real life stuff. See, joy, things that negative happen in your life won't affect your joy, but it will always affect your happiness. I'm preaching way too hard up here for the way y'all letting on. C.S. concluded by saying, I sometimes wonder if all pleasure is just a substitute for joy. End quote. Let me go just a little further and say, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. There's nothing wrong with happiness. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies. There's nothing wrong with being accomplished and successful. Hear me, just don't substitute joy for those things. Yeah, that part. Why? Because you'll never have enough money. You'll never have enough sex. And the house will never be big enough. The car will never be fast enough. See, what happens is we end up chasing after the things that are temporary, never truly being satisfied. Why? Because our hunger is for something eternal. I'm trying to get you to shift your focus and shift your mindset before we get out of this year. So when we jump into the new year, it's the same thing. I'm taking new ground. I'm looking at my life differently. It's not going to be about temporary things that can be still stolen. It's not going to be about temporary things that can be robbed from me. Let me say this and I'll move on. There's nothing wrong with having money in the bank. There's nothing wrong with driving a nice car. There's nothing wrong with having nice things, but you got to make sure that those things don't have you. You say, well, how do I know if those things have me? Because you'll tell yourself, if I could just have that, if I could just have a little more. That's how you know. Hello. You can write this down. If you're living it consumed, if you're living life consumed with having more, you're living a life unbalanced. If your life and your mindset and all you're going after is having more, then you're living an unbalanced life. And before too long, you will crash and burn. So I said, I thought this was supposed to be a Christmas, and we're talking about joy and this, what's going on? Well, we're talking about it. We're talking about how we've misplaced it, how real joy has been misrepresented. Here's my point. If you're trying to find joy in anything that's not eternal, it will never be enough. If you're trying to find your joy in anything that's not eternal, it will never be enough. Paul actually talks a little bit about this in Ephesians 5, verse 15. Let me read that real quick for you. Says this, he says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Y'all, we are living in some evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. You know why we come in here and why I spend 35 minutes sharing with you? Because we're talking about, I believe you showed up because you want to know what God wants you to do. So you got to pay attention. But understand what the Lord wants you to do. Here it is, verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Stop. I've never talked about drinking and alcohol, okay? But I'm going to say this. Alcohol is not a sin. He said, don't get drunk on it. Are you following me? Old preacher one time said, maybe one drink is okay. Two, three will never be enough. I expected it to be a little quiet. I wasn't planning on going there, but because this is not about drinking. I'm fixing to replace the wine with your stuff. Hold on. He said, don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? Singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. One translation says, be not drunk with wine wherein excess. Everybody say excess. Meaning it's never enough. Now, I'm gonna go beyond the wine and say, don't get drunk on money. You take that first sip, gotta have some more. You get that first raise in your paycheck. Oh yeah. You get to the end of the year, if I can just get some more. Gotta have some more. What else can we do to make more money? We gotta make more money. Watch. Don't get drunk on popularity. Don't get drunk on likes and approval. And don't get drunk on stuff. Why? Because all that stuff is temporary. And when you feast on things that are temporary, you'll never, ever be filled. And when you become inebriated, connecting it with me? When we become inebriated on stuff, it will always lead to excess. It'll always lead to more. Let me say this. Some things aren't even sinful until we get drunk on it. And Paul doesn't stop there. What he was leading up to saying was this. You actually have a God issue. That barn that I always go to, I don't know why. This is the barn doors with all of our stuff, guys, men. That stuff can become a God. Well, how do I know? When you replace God with your little g. I'm not jamming on if you have toys and you have things. I'm just trying to get out in front and remind you, if those things come before him, you're fixing to have issues. If your stuff comes, if your stuff and hanging out with the boys and all that, and hanging out with the girl, if all that stuff comes before your family, your life is unbalanced and you will have issues. Maybe what you need and the reason you're here today is because there's a spiritual issue that needs to be addressed. Because if God is eternal and I'm made in the image of God, and that's what the Bible says, that means I'm eternal. If you're made in the image of God, you are an eternal being. That means what I'm craving is actually eternal. What are we talking about? We're talking about having great joy, because there are a lot of things out there that we try to replace joy with. And because you are eternal, what you need can't be satisfied ever by earthly things. That's why Jesus said, man can't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Why? Because you and I are supernatural. Let me explain. In Genesis, when God began creating the heavens and the earth, you know the story. It's in the very first chapter. God talked to the dirt, and he said, dirt, make flowers. Amen. He did. Amen. But here's the deal. If Adam would have went and plucked that flower and gave it to Eve and looked at it, he'd be like, it's dying. No, he was already dead. Why? Because you plucked it and removed it from its source. Amen. It came from the dirt. It needed the dirt. Then God looked at the water and he said, water, make fish. And the water produced fish. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in your Bible. He said, make fish. But how many knows if you take a fish and set it out of water, it'll start flopping around for a little bit. And before too long, little buddy, little Nemo, Emo, whatever his name is. It's been a long time since we watched Disney stuff. I'm sorry. But we're getting ready to start again. We got a new one coming. Yeah, we do. Anyway, Nemo, is it Finding Nemo? Nemo. Finding Nemo. Little Nemo will start flopping around, right? Why? Because before long, he'll die. The dying process has already started. Why? Because you remove little buddy from his sores. Watch me. I'm going somewhere. But God doesn't stop there. Listen. When God said it's time to create humanity, he didn't talk to the dirt. He didn't talk to the air. What'd he do? When God created you and I, God talked to himself. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. What am I saying? I'm saying a flower needs dirt and a fish needs water and you need God. He is your source. Listen, when we separate ourselves from God, we end up trying to find a life source that can't give us life. Somebody said, well, it's not important for me to go to church. Please. When life starts getting crazy, the first thing you need to ask is, how many times this month have I been out of church? You're removing yourself from the source. You're removing, well, is it not important for my whole family to come? It's important for your family to come. As long as them babies living under your roof, I don't care how old they are, as long as they're living under your roof, you have a responsibility to teach them in the things of God and the way they should go, and when they are old, they won't depart. Why? Because it's inside of them. I'm just going to let Buddy stay at home. That's another message. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Real joy, true joy is eternal. Something else you need to know about joy. Number three, joy is powerful. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you let the devil steal your joy, he can get ready to whip you. Amen, whip your tail. Amen. Listen, when you have real joy, temptation is no longer has a power or a hold on your life. When you have real joy. If you're looking for happiness in all the wrong places, amen. Those wrong places will disappoint you, ladies and gentlemen. Number four, joy is a shield. I'm moving quick. Joy is a shield. Joy is your protection. Write this down. A joyless Christian is a tempted Christian. If you've lost your exceedingly great joy, watch out. That's the first step to the fall. It's true. A joyless Christian is a tempted Christian. Because if I don't have joy, I'm looking. Gentlemen, if I don't have joy, I'm not satisfied, I'm looking. But a joyful Christian is a Christian with great strength. And the power and ability to say, no, tell your flesh, sit down. All right, let me start bringing this down. Number five, joy, this is it right here. Joy is possible. It is possible. I know I just unloaded a lot of negative stuff, but joy, regardless of what you're facing right now, joy is still possible. It is. Somebody say it is. It is. Say Selah. That means so be it. It is. Joy is still possible. Listen, regardless of what you might be facing, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you had to endure this year, joy is still possible. You may feel a long way off from a place called great joy, and you're thinking, how do I get it? Number one, first thing, you must understand that great joy has a protocol. Everything in the kingdom has a protocol. Give and it shall be given. You got to do something to get something. It all started with Jesus at the cross. God had to give something for us to get something. Amen. And how do we think we're going to get anything from God without giving? I'm not talking about your money, so settle down. Start talking about money, and people, they get so tight, they stand up and the chair would come up with them. Isaiah 61:3. I'm almost done. Listen, you must understand that great joy has protocol. Here it is. To console those who mourn in Zion. That's your job as a church. To console those who mourn in Zion. Pause. Just because you're a Christian and you have faith does not mean that you won't mourn. I'm not talking about losing somebody in death. I'm talking about a situation that makes you sad. Just because you have faith, just because you come to church does not mean that you won't mourn. But it is important where you mourn. Everybody say where. where you mourn and where you cry. When Dad and Robin passed, and I say it all the time, I could have taken 6 months off. But I was back behind this sacred desk within 2 weeks. Why? Because it's important where you mourn and who you mourn around. Listen, God said, mourn in Zion. That word Zion means in the presence of God. In Scripture, Zion is the highest expression of God's presence on the earth. It's called Zion. That old song we used to sing, and I can't do it, but whew, Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise, to stand upon the mountain and magnify his name. To tell all the people, in every nation that he reigns, Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise. So what's he saying? When you mourn, and you will, do it in Zion. His presence is calling you to a higher place. That's why I said, when you take ground, don't go back to your old stuff. Stay right there, because I've got more for you. He said to console those who mourn in Zion. And when you do, I'll give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise. We'd already talked about this. Just because he gives you the garment doesn't mean you got to do something with it. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Just because he gives it to you, you still got to put it on. For example, you woke up today. In closing, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring this plane down. You got up today. You put clothes on. Why? Because there's a protocol. You just can't go to Walmart naked. You can try it if you want to. There's a protocol. What am I saying? The garment of praise is a choice. You made a choice to put clothes on today. Here's why it's so important. In my natural body, I praise. And when I do, there's something supernatural that happens and the spirit of heaviness leaves. We can start worship. We can walk out here and watch the countdown and start to praise and be like, God, I don't really want to do this today. But by the end of worship, when I let my flesh and I tell it to sit down, and I put on the garment of praise, that spirit of heaviness. You know why I know God wanted me to talk about joy today? Because it's the very thing the enemy's trying to steal from me this week, my joy. Lastly, joy doesn't bring gratitude. Gratitude brings joy. People say, well, when things start working out, then I'll be grateful. No, you be grateful, and then the joy comes. Neuroscientists will tell us that the brain, it's very complex, but you can't focus on two emotions at the same time. They tell us it's impossible to be anxious and grateful simultaneously. Meaning, you got to choose. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve, self or God. I can be anxious and I can be grateful, but I can't do them at the same time. We have to choose. Here's what's crazy. Paul wasn't a neuroscientist, but the Holy Spirit is a genius. And the Holy Spirit had Paul tell the Philippian church, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with praise, make your requests known to God. What am I saying? In the middle of your mess, don't forget to praise. In the middle of your mess, don't forget to praise. When life gets crazy and gets to lifen, praise. When you don't have all the answers, praise. When what you're facing almost seems like too much to bear, praise. And a couple verses earlier, Paul wrote in Philippians 4:14, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice and then do it again. What's that look like? That means remind yourself of the goodness of God. You want to know how to get your joy back? Think about Christmas. Not the tree, not the lights. You want to get your joy back? Think about Christmas. Think about Jesus stepping out of eternity and into time. What's that mean? Think about the goodness of God. As a pastor, I've spent... Go ahead and bring that table out, guys. As a pastor, I've spent this holiday season holding out hope to families within our church who have been facing some pretty tough circumstances. Maintaining joy in rooms that look, men connected to all kinds of devices and things to keep him alive. We were talking about putting on the garment of praise when life gets heavy and the importance of engaging in worship. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to believe that one of the greatest forms and acts of worship is doing what Jesus did. He laid down his preferences. He laid down his agenda. He laid down his kingdom. And ultimately, he laid down his life for others. And I believe God is giving us, those of us in this room, right now, the opportunity to respond to today's message. What does that look like? She's not in the room. I know she's here today, but she has been taken out, okay? Many of you know that we have been praying for Richard Bryant, the Bryant family. The Bryant family have been with us as a part of this ministry for many, 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 many years. There's pictures of their family. We dedicated their girls. Richard is fighting for his life. He was having some issues with his heart, and it took him in to the hospital. He'd spent 3 weeks there, and there's a procedure that needed to be done because he had, basically his heart was functioning at 25%, less than 25%. And he had a blockage, complete blockage, that they were needing to go in and expand that so blood could flow. But his body was not in a place that he could undergo that situation, that procedure. I believe he coded in the middle of the night, and they brought him back. And I remember going to visit, and Tammy went down to his ear and said, because it was Amy and Adam and Sarah and I went, and she said, "So we're here," and he's out right now. They've got him sedated, but his little toes were starting to move because he knew we were in the room. They've got three girls, Becky, and then Becky has Malachi. We've done an amazing job for the people in our community at Christmas. We've helped at Chiefland Elementary School, but I'm going to ask, we're going to make Christmas. Listen, Richard's now been transported to Largo, Florida, to see if he can undergo a heart transplant. It's pretty severe stuff right now, guys. And we've got a lot of hurting families. Susie and Jimmy. There's just lots of situations. But God said we're going to show up and help them at Christmas. She's having to travel back, and we've already, as a ministry, have provided financially to help in some areas. But we wanted to extend an opportunity for you to help at Christmas. So what we've done is we've put together index cards that have the child's name, their age, and just a very small, like, bathrobe and slippers. That's it. And it says, return the gift by next Sunday. If you have questions, call the church number. Okay? I think there's 20-something up here. 26 up here. There's also gift cards for Richard and Tammy. Y'all, I want to be the church, y'all. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to be about it. Are y'all with me? So we're just going to, he can bring this music up. And as long as they go, I'm going to ask and bring them back next Sunday. And we're going to be a blessing. If we can do it for the community, we can do it for the family. Amen? So that's it. There's no fancy altar call. You can come. The cards are there. First come, first serve. And I'll tell you this, I'll tell you this, if you don't get a card, find somebody with a card, snap a picture of it, and duplicate what that card says, okay? That's an easy way to do it. If all the cards get gone, find somebody that got a card. If you still wanted to do something, snap a picture of it, duplicate that thing, and bring in the same gift. And I'm done. Thank you for your time and attention today. Church family, I love you. Adam, I'll let you come and close us out. Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.